It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Yes, guys, I'm Si. Welcome to Cardiff City World, here, there, and everywhere. We're here to discuss Cardiff City's game with Southampton tomorrow morning and a couple of other things. It's going to be a short, sharp show this evening as we preview the game. If you're not familiar with the layout of these previews, we basically we have a talk about the game. We have a look at the opponents. We have a look at the way they play, their predicted team, maybe some areas where they may trouble Cardiff, where Cardiff need to be strong, etc., and men to watch, and then we do the same for Cardiff and some predictions. If we've got time, we'll take some questions and stuff in a live chat and whatnot. It's going to be fascinating to see just what Errol Bullock does, because people have been crying out for him to switch it up a bit, to play a bit more attacking at home, to play the youth, younger players at home, so especially some, you know, certain players who are highly rated. And he hasn't really so far, apart from a couple of recent substitution appearances for Kean Ashford and myself. I've been calling for Turnbull in that sort of midfield area alongside Sliopoulos, and we haven't seen that apart from a couple of substitution appearances. So it's going to be fascinating, because the injury list for Cardiff is like ludicrous. It's never ending. And there's a couple of those which I want to discuss generally as well. There's a couple of illnesses. And like I kind of tongue in cheek put in the title, you know, Callum Robinson to Arsenal or Madrid, or was he just unfortunate and he picked up an illness whilst he was watching the Champions League game with a pint on? I don't know. You know, it is what it is. Like, some people are not happy. I don't know what's happened during this season. At the start of this pre-season, I was saying quite openly that I thought Callum Robinson was our best finisher at the club at that point, and I felt that he was our best option as centre-forward. He has not played there once, to my knowledge, as an out-and-out striker. He's fallen out with the manager at least twice, maybe probably more. Been rumours of bad attitude and stuff, you know, being a bit of a bad egg because of those falling out with the managers, causing a bit of an issue. Him and Romeo were left out of the squad recently as well for discipline problems. So that's obviously still going on in terms of Robinson and the manager clashing to some degree. And then this week, it's been announced yesterday that when they announced all these injuries, that he's ill and not available for the game. Him and Josh Butler are ill. But Callum Robinson was at the Champions League game between Manchester City and Madrid the night before. So make of that what you will. Rumours of alcohol and things like that. I mean, you can't really say too much about that, because no one knows for sure. As far as I'm aware, on his social media where he posted some pictures and stuff like that, he didn't post anything of him out on the beers. So I think you can't make that assumption. But it is something which is kind of being said or going around, if you like. He's not available again. Now, I said around January time, I didn't think he was going to play for Cardiff again anyway. I think he's played once since then off the bench. Regardless of what you think of his attitude, potential discipline issues, which I, you know, they're clearly there, like, you're naive if you don't think there's some sort of issue there. However, what I would also say is he is a good championship footballer. And can Cardiff, particularly in the attacking sort of central forward, centre forward area, we are severely lacking in a good out-and-out centre forward. We are struggling. But you can't have players going against the manager equally. So if he has fallen out with the manager, and he's fallen out with the manager openly, and he's kind of been disrespectful or causing an issue in the dressing room or any of those kind of things which come with falling out with a manager, you can't ignore those and just play him. So I don't see him playing for us again. I have my own opinion, just as other people have their own opinions. It is what it is. I don't really base my opinion much on this week. I base it more on some stuff I've heard earlier in the season and stuff like that. But look, everyone's got an opinion. And as it goes, Cardiff just, we don't have the depth in the squad to just be just shunning players. It's bizarre. But there we go. It is what it is. So we look to Southampton tomorrow. I think it's going to be, if I'm being blatantly honest, I think it's going to be a painful watch. I think that's fair to say. I don't think it's going to be fun. Southampton are a very good team. They're in very good form. And they play good football. And they're still in with a chance of automatic promotion. So they're coming to, it's not a dead game. They're coming to win. Cardiff are going to, I will go through this injury list now. It's mad. It's remarkable in many ways. Not in a good way. Player of the season candidates, Perry NG, Colin Grant. Colin Grant out for the season. Jamal Collins, I think, has got a slim chance of making the game, but very, very unlikely. Callum Robertson, Josh Bowler, ill. Obviously, Aaron Ramsey, McGuinness, O'Dowda, Asbrand, Ryan Wintle, Alnwick, all out. I think, again, Ryan Wintle, I think, also potentially can make the game. But losing Perry NG is massive. He's by far and away been our most consistent performer, been a very good, I thought he was very unlucky not to be in the championship side of the year. Probably, like Walker Peters is ironically, we come up against, is an outstanding player. And, I think there's many positions in that team which you can kind of say, or so-and-so should be in, or so-and-so should be in, or, this, that, and the other. But ultimately, I think Walker Peters over Perry NG is close. Perry NG has been very consistent, although he hasn't. Maybe, his recent form maybe is what has let him down in terms of the championship side of the year. I don't know. He hasn't been as reliable recently. And the other thing, just on Robinson, regardless of whether he's fallen out with a manager or not, ultimately, I think he goes in the summer anyway, even if Bullock goes, because he, he's on high wages, and the Cardiff will look, he's someone you can get some money for. And I think those are the types of players on high wages you can get a fee for, which they're most likely to sell. And I think we've got some players with, Knox as well, Rawls and Siopis, Gutas, Phillips. It's going to be a very, if these players, I would dare say some of the ones who have got Knox, I think will make it. It makes it very difficult to predict the side. But, the likes of your Kean Ashworths, your Joel Colwells, I'd expect both of them to play some part, if not starting. And then you've got Conte, Antwi, a couple of others who can really go. And look, you've got to try and look at it from a positive point of view for Cardiff. Cardiff got nothing to lose. They can't go down. So it's just play the side you can play. Play some of the youngsters. Be aggressive. Be attacking. Try and play some good football at home. The fans will get behind the young players and just see what happens. And look, as Reece has just said there, I think the injury is an excuse. It allows him to play the kids. And if it backfires, he can say, I had no choice. It's a smart move from them. I mean, it does work. That does work and that does fit. But I think it's unlikely that they would have this many players out. But yeah, it does give him a bit of an out. Whereas he was trying to win games to save his job, he hasn't got a choice now. Jamie says, think people always read into too much into socials. Robbo went to the last Champions League game, but I'm not huge on him not playing. We know he doesn't watch us, so why go to the City to watch them? I think it's more the issue. I don't have an issue with him going to the game. What I have an issue with is he's had whatever issues throughout the season. He didn't play against, but he wasn't in the squad against Birmingham away for a discipline reason, so that we had ended up going with 19 players in the squad on that day. And then he's gone there on Wednesday night, and Thursday he's ill and can't come to work. So, come on. I don't know. He earns a lot of money, and, you know, I don't think that's acceptable for me anyway. But, you know, everyone's different. Everyone's got different views. Right, let's look at... excuse me. Let's look at Southampton. As I mentioned, they play good football. I don't think it's going to be it might be a painful watch in some ways for Cardiff, because I think it's going to be quite one-sided in a lot of ways. Well, I don't know. But it certainly, you know, could be a difficult game for Cardiff, let's say. And Southampton will play, you know, they'll play quick, attacking football. They like to pass the ball. They will keep hold of the ball very well. And they've got some excellent players. They've got some excellent young players. They've got some excellent other thing, you know, slightly more experienced players. Jason Wilcox, their technical director, has left this week to go to Manchester United. It's a big move for him. I've heard very good things about him, actually, as in that role or in that type of role. So, you know, best of luck to him. How will that affect Southampton? They seem to be a very the opposite to Cardiff off the field. They seem to be very well run. They churn out academy products. They give them playing time, and they play and they play and they keep doing it, and they have a good setup off the field, seem to find transfers and players from around the place. So you can't knock them for that. Their last three games, they've won. They beat Coventry 2-1, who will play in the FA Cup semi-final this weekend. They beat Watford 3-2, and they beat Preston 3-0, all at home. Their last away game, they drew with Blackburn Rovers. Their last two away games, actually, they drew with Blackburn and they lost to Ipswich. So maybe there's a bit of an in there for Cardiff in terms of maybe their away form is not quite as strong. I don't know. It is a tricky one. I'm just having a quick look to see if they set up differently at home compared to away from home. So they set up in their last game against Preston at home, sort of 4-3-3. So quick look at that away game versus Blackburn. Let's have a quick gander, see if they do set up any differently. Yeah, so it looks like they set up more in a 4-2-3-1 away from home. Just gonna have a look at a third game just to check it's not a one-off or two injuries. Yeah, so they'd line up in a 4-2-3-1 away from home. And then at home, they seem to go more with a traditional 4-3-3. Probably to be a bit more attacking, which most teams do when they're at home. They are a bit more attacking. But what I would like to hear from you guys is, what side would you play with what's available? Give me your 11s. Because it's very difficult to pick, because there's so many players either out or doubtful. Excuse me. In terms of how Southampton will set up, I think the back four pretty much picks itself, and it's very, very strong. You've got the Bazanu in goal, Walker Peters on the right, Stevens left, Bednarek and Harwood Bellis, both or all four are absolute quality. Walker Peters will look to get right up forward with the likes of Brooks and Aribo, and give Cardiff trouble. So whoever's... And this is the problem. With Wilson Asprand out for the season and with Jamal Collins, do you really want to chuck a kid in at left back to face Walker Peters, Aribo and Brooks down that left? I would argue you wouldn't want to do that. But Cardiff are not going to have a choice, I don't think, in terms of who they can play. Because they're down to the bare bones, they're down to the kids. So we are going to see, I would imagine, you know, if maybe like Jamali Collins makes it. But generally speaking, if the list, if no one makes it from the injuries they've announced, you are looking at the kids. And this is, you know, so we're going to go from wanting to see Joel Colwell and getting frustrated by that to suddenly seeing all sorts of issues. I just saw a headline saying Bluebird's letting Bullock go, but then I read the rest of it and it said it would be a mistake. Coming from Carlton Palmer. Interesting. Errol Bullock also said he'd rather Aaron Ramsey didn't play for Wales this summer. I think I agree with that. I would like to see Aaron Ramsey do everything he can to get fit for the start of the new season. We pay his wages. He's had an injury-disrupted season. And I think if we can get him fully fit and healthy for the start of the season, that's more important than some friendlies for Wales in the summer. Let's have a look, though. So back to Southampton. Midfield, I think you go Aribo. You'll have Downs and Rothwell. And then you'll have Brooks, Fraser, Aribo as well behind Armstrong. Adam Armstrong. But I also think there's a good chance that the other Armstrong plays. Or maybe Che Adams plays as well. Some big players there who can cause Cardiff all sorts of issues. I think that the important area for Cardiff is going to be the wide areas. And I think they're going to have to work out some way of getting some experience in the fullback areas, because I think it's going to be really problematic for them. When you look at the players that Southampton have in those areas and also have on the bench, my man to watch, probably a bit of bias in this. I was going to go with Brooks, but I'm going to go with Aribo. Aribo's a top quality player, plays on the right hand side of midfield, can really dictate and link up well with the forward line. He's very, very good on the ball, capable of beating a man, creating space, but he can play from a bit deeper and play through the lines and then follow it in and link up that way. He's quite clever, you know, through balls over the top, but he's also, you know, capable of beating a man, getting shot off, beating a man, putting a cross in. Very, very good player. And he's going to be an issue for Cardiff. They're going to have to really look to try and close them down in the midfield areas and try and disrupt them there. I think the midfield, again, is going to be a massive area in this game, because if Cardiff can be aggressive in the press, and that's what I want to see, if you're going to play a young team, be aggressive in the press and try and disrupt Southampton in the deeper part of the midfield and stop them from just having easy possession. Too often recently, home or away, we're just letting teams walk up to 30 yards out and then pressing. Like, I feel like with a younger squad, let's have them pressing. Let's be aggressive. It's a free game. No one's expecting the kids to go and win. So let's just excite the fans. It's the one but last home game. Excite the fans, be aggressive, press, and see if we can't disrupt. Like, the one thing you can say is young players will play for the badge and they'll play with no fear. Reese says, I think Keen Ashford starts. He features on this weekend's match day program, and he's mentioned he's always dreamed of playing here. So I think that's a strong indication he starts. Yeah, I think so. Be interesting if he plays through the middle or off the right. I think probably because of the injuries, he'll probably play wide. I would like to see him up front. Should we go 4-4-2? Just play him and Mate up front, or him and Colwell up front, whatever. Matthew says, I have a bad feeling about Che Adams and Adam Armstrong going to hurt us. Just hope the fans get behind the youngsters who do play. As you said, nothing on it. Just go out, give 100%. Matthew also says his 11 would be Howarth, Romeo, Gutas, Phillips, Joe Rawls at left back, Tanner, Siopis, Joel Colwell, Ashford, Reuben Colwell, and Mate. Yes, I think that's very interesting lineup, mate. Very interesting lineup. Cardiff's, like, the injury list is, every time I read it, it just makes for even more painful viewing. what is probably a big clue to these injuries, some of the doubts not making it, is that Cardiff's under 21 side played Crewe this afternoon, and there was Joel Colwell, Antwi, Raheem Conte, Kean Ashford all didn't play, while also uncapped defender 18-year-old Dylan Lawler didn't travel either. So I would say that's an indication, I would think, that all sort of five of those, including Dylan Lawler, are going to be in the first team squad. I don't think Dylan Lawler starts. I wouldn't have thought he does, unless I'm not. So that way he plays. He's a left back. You never know. Maybe he will play. Maybe he'll just try and put round pegs in round holes, which I am a big fan of. Sometimes it's better to do that than try and, you know, wreck on like a Joe Rawls there or someone like Joe Rawls has done it before. But let's have a look. Dylan Lawler, what's his season been about? Been at the academy since 7. Can't fault that, can you? He's, I mean, these players, they are gonna play for the badge. It's a dream come true for them, so why not? Dylan, composed and accurate defender, in and out possession, uses his head and ability to command aerial duty. Sounds like he's a centre back from that little description on the website. Yeah, centre back. So I think it would be, well, saying that, if Nat Phillips is out, he's going to have to play with Gutas, or if Gutas is out, because both of them are a doubt. So if one of them is out, Dylan Lawler probably does have to play at centre back, because I don't think there's anyone, unless you play, I don't know what Romeo's injury situation is. And will the manager trust him due to the fact that he's obviously had discipline issues? In terms of Cardiff, like I mentioned, I would like to see them play with a really high press with the younger squad and the younger starting 11. But you're going to have to try and mix and match as best you can. I think Howarth will be in goal for a start. Let's assume that one of Gutas and Phillips is going to play. Let's have a look. At the end, he cannot push any more top team. Many players have tried really hard with small injuries, blah, blah, blah. I'm just double checking to see. Right. So let's assume Jamari Collins is out. Let's assume that Phillips and Gutas are fit. So I think those two start. Romeo plays right back. I think Joe Rawls probably plays left back. I think it would be unfair to chuck a kid in. Southampton is so strong down that side. I think it would be brutal to expect a youngster to play that. I know they do rate Cameron Antwi, but like, I think it would be brutal to chuck him in there. I really do. I think it would be really almost unfair. Cameron Antwi is in more defending midfield. Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see what they do. So I'm going to go with Joe Rawls left back as well. Phillips, Gutas, Romeo right back. Midfield, I want to see Siopis, and I want to either see Turnbull or Joel Colwell. They're the only two I want to see next to Siopis. However, I agree with someone in the comments, which I can't see it now, but I think the manager will play Sawyers, which I think will be a disgrace, by the way. But there we go. Ruben Colwell, 10. Kean Ashford, one side. Ollie Tanner, the other, with the big man, Mate, up front. I wouldn't be against playing a 4-4-2 with Ruben Colwell and Ashford as the two, and then playing Turnbull, Siopis, Mate, and someone else off the wing, like maybe one of the young lads off the wing. I think it's a bit easier, but I think Sawyers will play. I can't see anything about David Turnbull being injured. So in my opinion, the midfield area is going to be so important. I think you do start Turnbull and Siopis. That should be our first choice two anyway. So play those two in the centre, and then give Joel Caldwell half an hour in the second half. Ruben, unless he goes with Joel in the 10, maybe, but I think he's better as an 8. It's gonna be so fascinating, that lineup tomorrow. I just think, look, no disrespect to Romain Sawyers, because I do think there's a player there. Maybe he would flourish in like League One, maybe I'm doing him a disservice. I do think there's a player there. But let's be honest, right? He's going in the summer. So even with injuries, why would you play him over a Turnbull, a Joel Caldwell? Like, why? There's just no point. No point at all. Reece says, I'd love to see a fully fit Sawyers and Psyopis. I think they would suit them both and would be in our best partnership this season. I mean, I've got to be honest. I'd be very encouraged by the little bit we've seen of Turnbull and Psyopis, but I don't disagree with you that Sawyers and Psyopis, a fit Sawyers and Psyopis, probably would have been better than Wintle and Rawls. Wintle and Psyopis. Maybe even Royals and Psyopis. I'm trying to think if there's any other combinations which we might see or could see. Can't really see any because we're so short of players. I don't expect Raheem Conti or Antwi to start, but I probably think they will get some minutes tomorrow just because we're down to the absolute bare bones. Sawyers will probably get some minutes in some fashion, I would have thought. He's fit. I don't want to see Jeju, I got to say. I'd rather see Ashford through the middle than Jeju. I've been so disappointed with Jeju. So disappointed. Absolutely. It's looked awful. Absolute awful. In terms of predicting the game, it's so difficult because I always want to go with my... I prefer to try and go with my head. And you know, my heart says the youngsters are going to show up. Because I think we have a really talented bunch of youngsters. I think a lot of it will depend on who we end up playing at left back, because I can't really think of anyone who could play there other than Rawls, unless Romeo went there and he played one of them, like a Tanner at right back or Wintle at right back, if Wintle was fit or something like that. I can't really see. Unless he goes with a 3. Now that is maybe a possibility. If he went Romeo, Gutas and Phillips as a 3 with Tanner and Ashford as wing backs, maybe, and then have whoever in the middle. I just want to see the kids, and I just want to see them get an opportunity to play. And I know, at least for like, you know, I know if they do play, like Darren will be very, very proud, and he'll be hoping that they can all give a good account of themselves, because we've got some really talented youngsters. And one of the things, unfortunately, which Cardiff seem to be reluctant to do is give more than one youngster a go at the same season. There seems to be one. It's never a couple. And I think we've got a crop coming through now who are good and have a bit about them. So let's give them the opportunity. We've got everyone's out injured anyway. So let's give them a chance. I'm going to go with 2-2. I just got a feeling Cardiff might turn up, backs against the wall. Nothing to really worry about in terms of relegation and things like that. Tomorrow night, I'm dropping a full-length podcast with Paul Abbandonato, award-winning journalist and author. It was a really interesting chat. It was all Cardiff City, dropping on Cardiff City World tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. And it's a full length show. It's really good. Filmed it earlier this week. Really, really good. And then we'll have the Flower Hour. We'll be at 8 o'clock. It'll be the breakfast show. So 8 o'clock Sunday morning, we'll be having the Flower Hour, where myself and Big Math are going to, superstar Matty Angel, are going to break down the Southampton game and talk about it. And then Sunday night, I'll do 5 things we learned from the game. Monday night, Cardiff City phoning. Wednesday night, on the Flower Hour, we have a big announcement regarding the next City Legend events. It's going to be a belter, and I'm hopeful that the guest might join us. You never know. But really, really excited for this one. I think it's probably the one I've been the most excited about. I don't know, though. I've been excited about all of them. I can't wait to do Willie Boland's one on the 10th of May. Like, I'm so excited to see Willie. I haven't seen Willie for like 18, 19 years. So really excited to hook up with him again and have a beer and break some bread, have a chat. It's going to be great. But do look out for do check out that Paul Abbandonato. I can never say his name. Abbandonato tomorrow. It was really interesting to speak to Paul and hear his views on like Bullet and the rest of it, like just how he thinks the season's gone. And we had a good chat, just broke it all down, the whole season, and just went through some stuff, talked about the board, talked about the rest of it. Really, really interesting conversation. And then we'll be doing an Ace Podcast Nation. We'll have him on soon to do a full length show on some of his books he's done. He's done a book on Gary Speed, on Nigel Owens, and a few others. Like, he's done a fair few books and he's got some great stories. Was really close to Marky Mackay, so like got some amazing stories. So we're going to go through those in a future podcast. But I will drop a a clip to that in just a second. Just check out the comments, see if there's any questions. Reese makes a good point. Also, if we just played the kids tomorrow without the injuries, the FA would probably fine us for impacting promotion. But yeah, the Flower Hour Breakfast Show, 8 o'clock Sunday, 8 o'clock tomorrow night, the Paul Abbandonato interview. It's going to be a belter. Make sure you check it out. I'm really, really hopeful that Cardiff City can put on a performance tomorrow and the youngsters can kind of show everyone what they're about, but also show the manager that he should have given them a chance already. That's what I would really like to see from tomorrow. In the meantime, here's a clip from tomorrow's show, and I will see you guys Sunday morning, bright and early. Come on, City.
It was, you know, rather than same old, you know, this was suddenly, you know, Cardiff were hopefully unearthing their own largely unknown manager from abroad who might just offer something different and take the club in a new direction. I thought the summer acquisitions were exciting, particularly given there was a transfer embargo, but I thought that Cardiff came well out of that. And then the football at the start, you know, three, you know, we can see how good they are in hindsight. The three of the early away games, Rob, well, the first three were Leeds, Leicester and Ipswich. And although I think there was only one win in five games at the start of the season, but I could see enough in the performance levels to think, and performance matters at that stage of the season, not at this stage where results are everything, but at that stage it does, because you can see how things will develop. And I could see, well, defeats will turn into draws and draws will turn into wins, because there was some excellent football play, particularly away to Ipswich. Ricardo, I thought, thoroughly outplayed until Bullet, I think, he admitted himself, he made errors with the substitutions, which saw Ipswich win that game in the end. There were patches away to Leicester where I thought in the second half there was some excellent football. Ricardo really took it to them. They were 2-0 up at Leeds. And, you know, results did turn around.
Podcast Network.